Welcome to Prague Will Find a Way, our podcast all about progressive rock. Today we have a guest.
You have guests a lot?
I haven't seen a couple.
I think you're the third guest.
Third guest. Oh, nice. I'm Jay Valade.
I'm Jonathan Block.
And this is Dave Schneider.
It's amazing that you guys, I asked about your numbers. You said 13 to 870, and I'm still the third guest.
Yeah. So, well, four. I forgot about John Davis from Yes. We did interview him. Four guests we've had.
All right. Well, maybe on the next podcast, you guys will call me
Through the roof.
Well, I was going to say no offense to our previous guest, but you know, every guest, we're going one rung up the ladder.
Oh, yeah. Me and the singer of Yes.
Yeah.
You're going up.
It's not John Anderson.
Let's talk about Yes.
You want to talk about Yes?
I'd like to start there.
Okay.
So we got to give who you are first.
Oh, sure.
So Dave is one of the founders of the original and only, as far as I know, hockey
greatest.
Band and greatest.
All
hockey band.
Hockey band.
All they do is music about hockey. What that has to do with Prague, we'll find out.
Well, we'll get
there. We will find out. But Dave also has another side band called The Levies, which we have talked about when we were doing our Christmas episode.
The greatest.
The greatest and only
Hanukkah-ish band.
So,
yes.
You want to talk about Yes?
Yes, I would like to talk about. I'd like to. Well, one, because you know I've known you for a long time. I've known John longer than you.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Trumbull, Connecticut.
Yes.
Born and raised.
Land of Rush. And Led Zeppelin.
Subdivisions.
Led Zeppelin. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, not trees, but later.
Yeah.
Nothing cool. It was Signals.
Yeah, it wasn't Xanadu.
Let's be honest. Yeah. Oh, I like this podcast. And I'm sure whoever's watching that little conversation, if that appeals to you, there's nothing better than this.
Right, exactly.
But my brother got me into New Wave at a very early age, so they thought I was gay and Trumbull because no one was listening to the Second Men Without Hats record. But I was really upset when one of my favorite bands, all of a sudden, this other band was doing a version of I Am a Camera. I'm like, who is Yes, and why are they covering the Buggles? So slowly I realized that the Buggles, who I really did love, the first record and the second record, I was into the Kevin, whatever that Woolley guy was.
Bruce Woolley. And the Camera Club.
Kevin Woolley. Welcome to the podcast of 58-year-olds and older.
Yeah,
Kevin Woolley was great.
It's Bruce Woolley.
I know.
And the Camera Club.
Woolley Bully.
Yeah, he wrote Woolley Bully, and he was in Sam Sham. And the. No, but I went to see Yes because I was like, what the heck? I'm going to see half the Buggles.
I was at that show. I'm sure we were at the same in 1980, New Haven Coliseum. In the round.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amateur.
And
you didn't fall in love.
I did fall in love. I loved Drama. I thought that record was still one of their best records.
It's a great album.
It's bizarre that it's... I don't know.
It's your intro.
I don't know what it...
It's funny that's your intro.
I think it's well-regarded now.
Oh, it is.
Way more than it was when it came out, but it's...
Yeah, people love that album.
And that was the beginning of all of those offshoots of those bands Asia and all that.
And then Trevor Horn just went crazy.
Crazy successful.
And became like culturally significant.
Yeah, so much. Art of Noise was like completely different, you know, and Herbie Hancock stole from that. So he a true innovator in every sense of the word. But that's how I got into Yes.
Okay.
They stole the Buggles.
Wow. They stole the Buggles. There you go. Yeah. And they truly did. It worked for a while.
It worked for six months.
No, it was longer than that. I mean, they had to make the album. They wrote the album, made them, they toured. It was a full world
tour. It was over by December, though.
So, right. Okay. It was in the...
But the next record, was that the biggest...
9-1-2-5 was the biggest record ever. They ever did.
Yeah.
Produced by...
Trevor Horn. Yeah. So it was kind of interesting because, you know, that dynamic had to be an interesting moment in the studio where Trevor Horn is producing the band that he took over the lead singer spot for the lead singer who came back, who's probably sitting there just daggers the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, you took my spot, dude.
And a lot of those, I mean, on the biggest hit, a lot of those noises and are from Art of Noise sounds.
Yeah.
That he sort of but honed
the,
in.
I think the Yes record came first, and then they.
I knew that would happen. Yeah, yes, yeah.
That was a softball for Jay. Oh, jeez.
He's like. Well, you know, close to the edit was Trevor Horn's take on Close to the Edge, which is the Yes album. Oh,
really? I feel like walking off.
I find that hard to believe. No. So, Dave, you said...
It wasn't his take musically, but the title. Yeah.
I don't know what to do with my hands. Is this awkward?
It's like,
is this awkward?
Hold. It's
like... you said...
No, you said you're into New Wave and
totally into New
Wave. I mean, I was into it too, and one of the things Jay and I have talked about, you know, like, to me, some of the prog kind of melted over there. Not necessarily the Yes Genesis stuff, but, you know, the Bowie, the German Electronic, you know, the Tangerine Dream, the Kraftwerk, all that stuff. And then, you know, kind of got filtered through disco in a sense. I mean, Donna Summers,
Can you connect Joy Division and New Order to
I think
Prague?
You can. I think you can. I mean, it's certain.
This guy can't. Look at him.
But I would I can easily connect like Prague, like Roxy Music and stuff, to like Spandau Ballet. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Or the first couple of Duran Duran albums. Or you think of all that, you know, British Electronic Foundation stuff that, you know, begat the Human League and...
they were much hotter and weirder.
You know, all that stuff. And eventually it became really commercialized, but...
Yeah. Well, that's what I loved in the early 80s was I loved the OMD stuff where they were kind of out there.
Right.
Oh, the early OMD stuff?
The early... The Architecture Morality.
Ultravox, too.
And Ultravox, yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
So it was kind of interesting because although it was New Wave, it was progressive in its own way until it became the very top 40 kind of sounding.
I mean, listen back to now to like Vienna, okay, by Ultravox. And first of all, the thing that hits it, I'm like, they're playing like three instruments, you know, and back then it sounded like this big, huge thing, but it's like, that is so...
But the whole point,
you know,
even the Sex Pistols, we're not going to do what Genesis, he would always make fun of those bands.
Yeah.
But the beauty of Vienna is that it's so simple. But it's still as proggy as many
things. But it's the atmosphere, you know. Oh, they took a lot of that atmosphere.
Yeah, sometimes when I'm driving and that hits, I'm in danger. I don't know what I'm feeling.
You know? That song is...
Fear.
Yeah.
Sadness.
Yeah. No, it's... You know?
You pull over and cry.
I pull over. I'm afraid. I'm crying.
I mean, Midgeur did play in Thin Lizzy for a while, so it's weird the way all that stuff kind of...
Have you guys gone and seen Midgeur solo?
I saw him at Toad's Place way back when, but he was just at the Space Ballroom last year, but I couldn't get there.
I saw him at Cafe 9, and it was great.
Cafe 9 he was at?
Pretty sure, yeah. I called Kevin Woolley. I just did.
Why not Kathy?
Did an interview with someone.
You visited him more in a theater kind of thing.
Well, no, he was at the Space Ballroom.
Oh, okay.
And so that's not huge, but it's bigger than Cafe 9.
Oh,
I mean, my son Matt's band plays there.
Shout out to Bajel.
Oh yeah, shout out. I did an interview last week, and I started reading the interview, and I'm like, oh no, because you know our brains stories. Yeah. Get wilted and so the comment was we actually it was a great interview. You guys should do it for your next guest. But you have two packs of rock cards and you open them up and you pick six and you speak of the six with a story. So one of them was U2. I'm like, I got to tell the story. So I said I went to U2 and I looked to my left and there was something that said U2 sucks. You sold out. And it ended up being my friends Peter and Tarkin, who have become my best friends and bandmates.
Who also co-formed the Zambonis.
That's right.
Back
but it
in
turns
the
out it was the REM show. I just talked to Tarkin.
Oh,
he's like,
what
was it? I said, and I remember that. I remember. I'm like, oh my God, that's right. It was the REM show. It said, you suck. You sold out. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, these guys are ass. Can you swear?
Yeah, of course.
Ass pucks.
Yeah. We check the not for kids, but
So I'm just warning you. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
But I mean it. I try to do my best.
So
talk about
Dave is into a ton of music. right? But yeah. Prog has never, when we get together, it never really hits the same button. But I was out, I think it was like a year and a half ago, we were out someplace, and you and your buddy were there, and you started talking to me about Gentle Giant, and I'm like...
Well, sometimes you buy a record for its cover.
Yeah, which true. One did you buy?
The one with the giant, and I think it had like a, it was a cutaway.
The first album. That's the first the first Gentle Giant album.
Yeah. I love anything die cut. I'm buying it. Okay.
Oh, was it the whole giant in the band, or was it a cutout mask
of the face?
Cutout mask.
Okay, so that's
later 78.
That's a later. Yeah, it was either not civilian, whatever.
Playing
it was.
The fool.
This is where you lose. Look, they're all leaving.
Why can't I remember? I'm gonna look it up. Anyways, I always say we don't know.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I love it. It's great.
So did it open the door to new things?
I went back. My friend Tim's dad, who I spoke to for a while, he's a big prog guy, and his favorite band was Gentle Giant.
Okay,
of course.
Tim is who you were talking to when we were having the conversation.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, his dad's a musician and he makes weed and coffee. Hey, sorry.
Giant for a day. That's what it's called.
By the way, in my basement, I still have 11 Straub's records. If you need any,
wow, well, there you go. That's more than either. I think that's more Straub's records than Jay and I have combined.
What you need to do. You need to do some giveaways, and you also have to promote Sheen, which where you got this prog blanket, right?
It was
$4
a gift.
From China.
It was a gift.
It's interesting how accurate the Chinese are on these bootleg. Quilts. Is drama on here?
Yes, but it's...
Oh, it's off the
side. Where is it? No, it's right here.
No, it should be right. Yeah, oh, it is in chronological
Cheers,
order, right?
Drama. Cheers.
Trevor.
To drama. Is tomato here? Because I can't
Tomato,
get rid of
that one. Tomato. Yeah,
I got too many. I got a bunch of tomatoes.
Yeah, you have a bunch of copies.
Really? Anyone out there needs a couple tomatoes?
How about Love Beach? You have a Love Beach?
I don't have Love Beach.
It's Emerson, Lake and Palmer, in case you didn't
know. I know.
I bought a collection about 10 years ago, and I don't know what happened with Tormato, but they had a lot of Tormatos.
Yeah. I think what happened was it shipped platinum.
Oh, gotcha.
And so they had way too many.
A lot of cutouts.
Way too many copies than people were buying.
Yeah.
Do you like that record?
Oh, I love it. It's actually, we've actually talked about this on a podcast. It's probably my second favorite. So Close to the Edge would be number one, and Tormato.
Now, do you pronounce it Tormato or
Tormato?
It's a little joke. Sorry.
You say Tormato.
Thank you, Jay. That's what I was.
There we go. Heyo.
Yeah. I love that album.
All right.
I just think it's a great
album.
So
who else? Floyd? Any?
I love Pink Floyd. Are they prog?
People say they are, some don't, you know.
Not when they started. That's not prog. That's psychedelic,
yeah.
Psych. Well, that's always the question.
Yeah, well,
then it's just space
music like them and Hawkwind and that stuff.
Because we are under the broad
umbrella.
Yeah,
we're not dogmen.
That Radiohead is prog. And that, you know, anybody who kind of takes popular music and kind of twists it and brings it into a different direction is kind of prog.
I.e. whatever we feel like prog.
I'm telling you.
XTC is definitely prog.
I don't mean to plug my friend's band, but you guys are missing out on the Mommy Heads right now.
The Mommy
and
Heads.
They changed from what I knew of the Mommy Heads. They still have their great pop songs, but they have made records in the last 7 years. They have progressed heavy. They do a couple of Crimson covers. They're really big in Sweden, which is just has been building all these years.
That makes sense.
This band
Eggstone
is a big band in Sweden. They love the Mommy Heads. And anyway, but boy,
all right,
the
Mommy Heads.
Take note, everybody.
Hashtag Mommy Heads.
Adam Cohen, that's for you. Okay.
There you go.
Well, I saw the Mommy Heads at one of your sponsored shows that you do. Dave does a CTGB's night, which is Connecticut CBGB's, basically, reliving all the songs that were the punk songs from those days in New York City.
We stuck with the punk, you know, the traditional songs for the first couple of years. This has been going on for 10 years, but... You know, and I have little obsessive rules that the band had to play at CB's, obviously, but XTC, they played CB's, and last year we did three XTC songs.
Wow.
Do they count in the Prague conversation?
Oh, yeah.
They
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And
we haven't done an XTC episode. No. Maybe you can come back
next
for an
year.
XTC
we're doing nine
episode.
Magazine songs.
All right.
Oh, okay. There
I
we
just
go.
Wanted to treat all you right. nice there. But no, but last year was three. I mean, Rhodes Girdle the Globe, my wife and a couple other people were like, what you're bringing hell? People down at the CBGB. Oh. It's such a great song. Man.
I know, but it's kind of funny because I loved what they played, but they are not your like...
No, and I said to Adam...
Who's your Blondie songs are like, you know, the songs people know.
Yeah.
But then the XTC songs were like three of the most obscure songs I could find. Helicopter.
Well, the thing was, I chose some hits. And then Adam's like... Yeah, I think we're going to do it this way. And, you know, he's got the Mommy Heads, who are unbelievable band, and Ken Mowry, shout out to Ken, who's B-52's keyboardist and one of my favorite artists there is. So I'm not going to say, can you not do Helicopter? Can you not do Rhodes Girdle the Globe? You know, so. Yeah.
So.
You think if we did an XTC tribute night? Oh, they already have that band, so I guess.
I don't know. Oh, that.
Which band?
The Terry Chambers one?
Oh. Yeah, which is great.
It's great. I saw them at the Space Bottle. They were fantastic.
Are
they coming back again?
Yes. Yeah.
I might have to go see them again, but yeah, that was a fun show.
Oh, a drummer, right? He was the drummer.
Yeah, the drummer of XTC who left after, you know, they stopped touring, basically.
Okay. I met him afterwards, and at the time my wife was learning drums for a
another side project of Dave's.
No, she's in that band, but this is for School of Rock, and they were doing punk or new wave or whatever, and there were three XTC songs. Okay. So I on video I get Terry Chambers, I go, hey, can you give my wife an idea of what you think, these are the songs she's playing. He goes, stop playing them, you're gonna lose money. I was like, okay. But yeah.
That's hysterical.
We could show that if you want.
When did they stop touring?
81,
probably.
Yeah, okay. English Settlement, I think, came out in 82, and I think they did a couple shows,
dates.
And then
that was it. Yeah, that was it.
Put the kibosh.
Okay.
Yep.
But speaking of Andy Partridge, he writes lyrics on the new Stephen Wilson album.
Really?
Yes. Oh.
Well, speaking of Andy Partridge, okay. At my CTGB show, or our CTGB show, I also, through Adam from the Mommy Head, said, hey, my friend Steve Conti wants to do a show. I was like, okay, great. I know Steve. I mean, I know his music. Didn't know him. His new album is co-written all with Andy.
Andy Partridge.
Yeah.
Cool. How is
that?
It's great. It's great. It's really cool. Huh. And Steve and Adam both played, we did Make 'Em Plans, and they did dueling solos, which is, I don't think there's anything more proggy than two guys noodling and improvising on that solo. Yeah. So it was pretty impressive. Yes.
Yeah.
Any other things we'd like to talk about? If you want, I can see this.
So Dave's band, the Zambonis, which plays all hockey songs, well, you know, we brought him in because of the Rick Wakeman on Ice.
What's more Prague than hockey? Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. In the Zambonis, we've been referred to for the last 32 years as a joke band. But for a joke band, we've done a lot of great things. But we do, just like the Levies, we take the music more seriously than you can ever imagine. And Peter Kadis, who left the Zambonis in 2001, who helped us record two nights ago, he left. He made a lot of the records from Interpol and many, many, many of the national records and Glenn Hansard and the Swell Season. So we don't F around. But seeing we're a joke band, I then can make any type of music a hockey song because it doesn't matter because no one's going to take us seriously anyway. So we can't lose. So we've done all these genres, and it's, I don't think of them as genres, but if it's an old country song, if it's a ska, if it's punk rock or whatever, it's just classic pop. But we've touched on Prague once, and we killed it with a song called Hockey on the Moon, which is 7.5 minutes, and it's really a tribute to Flock of Seagulls' Wishing, the 10-minute remix. So, but Thursday night... There's a brand new song called There Ain't No Ice about climate change, because a lot of people that play hockey, you can no longer just go out to the pond. You have to keep on traveling and traveling, and eventually you're past Boston.
Yeah.
You know? So There Ain't No Ice, I tried to write a Zeppelin song. It became a Small Faces song. But in the middle, I had this Zeppelin-ish break. But thankfully, we have Jay in the band now. And
not me. Not Jay.
And we're recording the other night, and you know, in my basement where we're playing this, is a long story, but it's worth it. we have a cheesy Yamaha, an acetone organ, and you know, Jay's been playing and working on this part, but it was nothing really. I said, and so it was 2 weeks before we recorded, and I said, hey, since we have all this time, guys, just you know, work out your parts a little bit. And we walk into the studio, and I go, Jay, by the way, there's a Mellotron here, and he puts on the headphones. And I sort of forgot about Jay because we were recording basic tracks. And this is just the basic tracks. There's no mix or anything. But eventually I'm like, Jay, you want to just try a Mellotron part? He's like, yeah, I think I got something pretty cool. And we played it. And this is what Jay did. And it's the Small Faces stuff. Here comes the break. 12 strings too low, but here we go.
You cannot get more prog than that.
Correct. He's like, what do you think for the sound? I said, flute. Yeah. Flute. Just hit the flute button and you'll see. It's all you need.
Wait for John Anderson to start singing the first part.
Oh, that's true.
It sounded like a little like you from, and I moment. Yeah. Mm. Very impressive. Nice. So we scooped. We got a scoop there.
We do. That's not even recorded yet. Or recorded two nights ago.
Two nights
ago. But not mixed.
Oh,
rough mix.
A lot of stuff to add. There's more 12 strings to add to that part, but
well, you got to build it up. There's got to be some harp and a little incidental percussion.
Harp.
He's got the Mellotron.
Well, you're trying to save the world, right? This is an environmental.
Yes,
you know.
Yes, you're right.
Uplifting.
Yeah, we'll try it.
Is it uplifting?
We'll see. I don't know.
Musically, for a while.
And musically, it sounds uplifting. Yeah.
Well, definitely.
But that's a good juxtaposition. The world's ending. But
so Zamboni's go prog.
By the way, I wore this shirt.
It's all for your Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Ted Knight. It's not
Ted
what
Knight.
I forget who the original guy on the Devo record was. This Spanish golfer from back. I forget. But anyway, that's Ted Knight.
That's Ted Knight instead of that person.
Yeah.
That person.
But is Devo prog?
I think there are prog moments of Devo, but I think that once they hit the zeitgeist of Whip It and all that kind of stuff, that was not really prog.
Was it their first album that was produced by
Eno?
Yeah.
Well,
so
there you go.
I was going
to
say
they're definitely prog adjacent.
They didn't even have to play.
Eno.
They didn't have to play a note. They didn't
before
have to play
that
a note.
they were way out there. Musically and idea-wise, musically ideas. I mean, but there's a lot. You know, he had pedals on his guitar. That's
well, and just the you know, I think there are progressive tendencies. Certainly, Mark Mother's Bio, I would say, is very progressive.
Yeah, the records after they were big are still really cool too.
Oh yeah,
I loved Peekaboo, the next record. And then the next one, Smooth Noodles, whatever. But I don't know. It's so funny.
You love Devo, though.
I love Devo, yeah. Sure.
Are they in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No. Dave's been... Dave, you know, every chance he gets is campaigning for them.
I mean, they have huge... No, I mean, they had huge... They had some huge songs.
I don't consider that thing anything.
Well, you know.
Sorry.
I stopped... Once... I always complain. I was like, you know, until Todd Rundgren gets in, it's not the Rock and Roll. And once he got in, I stopped paying attention. Because... You know, although Yes is in, right? Yes is in, yes, Genesis. They are.
No Crimson.
They're never going to, I keep telling you, they're never going to.
That's crazy.
Because he would never.
That's why this is such a dumb conversation, because that thing makes no sense.
It's the favorites of the people.
I don't look at politics, and I don't look at Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are the two.
Okay.
You live a happier life.
You do. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're not involved in emotionally involved. However, I did go to a couple of the induction ceremonies, and they were so much fun.
Roxy Music. Because
it's everybody from all over the map.
Were you there for Roxy Music?
Yeah.
Okay. Were you on Roxy Music, Dave?
I love Roxy Music. I love Roxy Music. I love Brian Ferry's solo stuff. Yeah, definitely. Love their covers.
Yeah.
All their record covers are great.
Yeah.
Yep. Some early fantasies from those records. Luckily, the Cars stole their heat.
That's right.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
The Cars.
Just with the pretty girl on the cover.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know. Mm. Where are you with the car? Where are you with the Cars, Dave?
Me?
Jay?
Oh, I love the Cars.
Yeah.
We saw them get inducted, too.
Wow. One of the best bands ever.
Yeah. I love the Cars.
I would call
the Cars. And I mean, come on.
Since you've gone, that's not Prague. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Moving in stereo.
You know, I mean, the second album.
And then he produced some Suicide stuff.
Yeah. Rick Ocasek did.
Yeah. Suicide's another band.
So we saw them get inducted, and that was, I think, his last performance before he passed away.
Oh, geez. Well, we should end there.
And on that note.
But, yeah, I don't want my mind's going. I didn't pay his ex-wife or anything, but you know, I mean, that's not nothing to do with music.
That's true.
It's Paulina.
Wow.
A lot of bands from that Boston area in that time
didn't pay their ex-wives.
No. I'm saying that, you know, there was a pretty good music scene up there.
Oh God, yeah, sure.
Human Sexual Response. You remember them?
They're from the Boston area. And I think, you know, I just feel weird talking about, is it Prague? So I guess I won't say it, but that band, some of the best songs ever.
Yeah, I was a big fan of that band.
My favorite being Land of the Glass Pine Tones.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
I mean, could you get a more Prague title?
You should play that.
Glass Pine Cones? Like, what if...
So where do we start with Mommy Heads?
Oh, I mean, I would start with the record that Peter made. But for you guys, no. Move right up to current. Listen to their latest record.
Okay.
Yeah, they're just like the last record. Watch some videos. They're all over your they'll tickle your fancies. They're right. They're right in your zone. Totally.
Cool.
Yeah. I and then, you know, there's a live King Crimson cover they do over in Sweden, but they're their own thing, and it's really, really good. And they're master musicians. It's crazy. Drummer plays with one hand. It's just very odd.
I think I'll check out some videos first. Yeah. That sounds cool.
Yep.
All right.
Awesome. So when do we get our Prague Zambonis?
Well, I've made a commitment. We've been putting out singles since 2012. It's all singles.
Yeah.
Let's put out a song. And what happens is you throw a song out there and it just sort of fades out. But there's nothing to hold on to. And I want to hold on to something. So I'm going to put out a record within 9 months.
Okay.
Vinyl and CD.
So all the singles that you've been releasing over the course of time, or at least some of them?
I'm going to do some of that, but I always hated when bands did that, but I got to put some of those songs on there. But
come on, Slow Whip has got to make it onto a record.
Slow Whip, yeah, you don't want to, you want it to disappear, you know? So, we've got these two new ones, Hockey Polka.
Nice.
You are all over the map.
Absolutely a polka. And There Ain't No Ice, and a bunch of new ones. Hockey Prodigy is a brand new one. Steve wrote that. Steve Tansky. Shout out to Steve. And there's a lot of new songs.
Cool.
Excellent. So cool. New Zamboni's record 2025.
Got to do it. All right. Get it out, no matter what.
Nice.
Throwing money to the wind, but it's all about it's all about creation and just getting keep stuff going out there. And the Levies will have vinyl with three new songs. Well, two new songs and one that didn't make the record. 2025 at the end of
okay. For next Hanukkah season. This year's Hanukkah season.
Yeah.
All
nice.
Right.
Yep. So
nice.
So that's awesome. So that's my plugs.
Well, all right.
This is great. I wish you guys luck. I wish you a lot of success.
Yeah. Please like and subscribe.
I'd love to do what you're doing, but it's such a mystery.
It is a mystery.
But it is great. At least
it's just fun. We're just chatting.
Yeah. Drinking beer, talking about music.
What are just curious? Like, what bands have you talked about the most? Do you think?
I would say probably Marillion and King Crimson and Yes.
Yeah.
Those three, right?
Those would probably hit the main.
Is Marillion still going?
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry.
Jay will be seeing them in a couple of months.
Where?
We get up in Montreal. They do a weekend. They do weekends all over the globe, all the time.
And 5 days.
That guy's name was Fish.
Fish was the original singer. He hasn't been the singer since 1988.
Okay, because that was confusing for a moment.
Yes.
And but now
he had his own solo career, which he's kind of wound up now, and he is moving into retirement.
Yes. So now Steve Hogarth is the singer who I was trying to. There was a connection to somebody that you liked. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah. How do I know Steve
Hogarth?
What
band did he come from?
He came from the Europeans.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Seriously?
I know the Europeans. Well, they had stuff on.
Yeah, I know Steve Hogarth. Yeah.
So he's been the singer of Marillion since 1989.
Oh wow! I've been out of the
you
loop.
Have been out of the loop.
It's fish,
but I mean, you know, it's just like goes like that, right? You wake up 1 minute and you're almost 60.
Oh, you know what it was? He had a solo tour and Dave Gregory was playing guitar for him.
Oh
yeah, so there was this little Marillion XTC moment there.
Yeah, Steve Hogarth. Yeah, I know that name, and it's not from Harry. Was he in
it's
Harry and the Potters?
No, he was not.
Was he in Harry Potter? Hogarth? No.
No, that's Hogwarts.
Oh, yeah, that's Hogwarts. Kevin Woolley. We should start a Bruce Woolley cover band called Kevin Woolley. It's a tribute and an insult.
Oh.
But there was one other thing. I was listening to something the other day. I know.
Oh, Thomas Dolby was a Bruce Woolley guy too.
Yeah, he was on. Did he play on those records?
I don't know.
Or was he in the band?
Know, he's like all. He's into
you recently
everything
saw
too.
Thomas Dolby, right, Jay?
You went down to Bridgeport to see him.
Yeah, and then I saw him at the library, right?
I bought his book. I love Thomas Dolby.
He's definitely got his prog tendencies for sure.
Yeah, the Flat Earth is what a record. Does anyone else reference Mulu?
No. That's you can check that box.
I'll say that too. There was a band from the '60s I was listening to the other day, and I thought about you. Oh, shoot, that sucks that I have to do that. Yeah, I won't remember. They total Who band. Oh my gosh, all those guys, Stones, everybody. Look the. Darn. Eh, that's the worst part.
Do you know
of
any song? Any songs? Al,
yeah, I'm thinking right now. But,
okay.
Why did you think
of
us?
The Pretty Things.
Oh, the Pretty Things.
Yeah. So I love the Pretty Things.
Yes.
And I was at a tag sale about 2 years ago, and I bought a record that was I'm like, what is this? And it was 1979.
Okay. Huh.
Total killer record, and it's got a song called I'm Calling or The Calling. Have you ever heard this song?
No.
It's totally new wavy. And it's like, I don't know what they did or where they came from 1975.
Yeah, right? SF Sorrow.
I have that, And even after that, they were like,
Parachute. I love that.
Yeah, there was
album.
Some weird stuff. But this record is complete new wave with some synths. Yes, I'm calling. It was
total, they tried it.
They listened to the Vapors too.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was in that period of time where everybody.
Well, we were talking about that, I think, a couple of weeks ago, where, you know, in the 80s, these prog bands had to adapt.
Or, yeah.
Right. Or disappear forever.
Not everybody made, you know, Rick Wakeman money.
True. Well, guys, I think we've run over our course.
We have.
A guy looking for the pretty things for 3 minutes is
there you go.
No, not going to help your ratings.
Man, that's good. First time we talked about them.
Well, they're not Prague, but
I don't know. I think, you
but,
know,
that
like
record
I said, SF Star and Parachute, both those albums are just...
SF Star is one of the greatest records I've ever heard, yeah.
Yeah.
That's another die cut, by the way.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bought two of those and I sold
them. And then they recreated it, was it in the 90s, with David Gilmour on guitar?
You know what's great? There's a couple other records, and I spoke to someone from a record label back then. It might have been someone at Pecan. But that exact die cut was used for other records.
Really?
And they just had extras. That's what it was. It's like, why are, if I was in that band, like, why does the record look like that? Well, listen.
We use your contract.
Isn't
you got
cool?
No say in this stuff.
No, it's really cool. It's really cool that you
don't
got
worry
that.
About it, you know? It's like, you know, it's Boston. It's not a college town.
Thanks for that.
All right.
Headway.
Beer.
Thanks, guys. It was a pleasure. Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
Prague will find a way even to the Zamboni's hockey band.
Of course, if you wanted to.
I'm sure there's a Mellotron app. Every band can
have. Oh, yeah, there's a Mellotron app.
Yeah.
There is a Mellotron app.
Listen, guys, invite me back in 3 months.
We totally will.
We'll do an XTC episode.
We'll talk about
the
exact same stuff.
But we'll remember.
No, we'll run this episode. We'll just cut and comment. We'll do a running commentary on this episode.
I'm proud of this episode. Very proud of this
Thank
episode.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Don't forget to subscribe and like.
Yeah. All right.
Like it.